The Florida community of mindfulness is happy to make these talks available to you. If you find this talk to be a benefit, please consider making a donation to support us. You'll find a donation button on the talks section of our website, floridamindfulness.org. Thank you, and may you be happy and free of suffering.
Thank you for coming this morning. This has been a sort of full weekend in our community. We have a guest, Brother Fulfillment, a.k.a. Brother Man, visiting us. He has graciously attended our wake-up group, our group for people in their 20s and 30s on Friday night. He gave a very well-attended workshop yesterday morning on mindful communication, helped facilitate the a tea ceremony last night. But he doesn't work Sunday morning, so we gave him we gave him Sunday off. Kind of union rules from Blue Cliff. Anyway. But he will be. There'll be another opportunity tonight. He will be facilitating a forum, which is really an open, non-agenda opportunity for the community to interact with him and perhaps ask him questions about monastic life, about life at Plum Village, Thich Nhat Hanh, other monasteries he's been at, some of his own interests as a practitioner, a monastic practitioner of the Dharma. So it'll be, and then when I announced this last night, he said he reserves the right to ask us questions. So I said that seems only fair. So we'll see what happens. So today I want to continue. I think many of you know for many months now we have sort of. I mean, we do many things in this community, but there's sort of been a theme. One of the themes that we've been weaving over these past months is something I think we call nourishing well-being. Which is really an attempt by myself and our board of our Florida Community of Mindfulness to really let our members and everyone really who comes that we really have to attend to the well-being of our body minds. Obviously, the practices and the meditations are doing that, but in a more kind of anyhow, it's spreading the message that. We need to attend to these things. And the first month was spent on the body, really. And we're using, kind of as our template, a fairly obscure Buddha sutra sutta on the four nutriments that Thich Nhat Hanh sort of resurrected from relative obscurity and really has made it a wonderful center of his teaching and his community on the four nutriments. And I think he resurrected it because he understands that this is a fundamental issue in the world today. I mean, and it says the four nutriments, but we can really look at it as consumption. But it's a way of looking at consumption in a very unique way. The first of the four nutriments has to do with edible food. So it really begins, I think, where we are most obviously aware, right? We are aware that we have these bodies and that we eat, we consume food, and that we consume food to nourish the well-being of our body. But we also know that many people do not utilize food in that way. For pure nourishment, we utilize food in many ways, unfortunately, at often our harm. So, and again, I believe there's on our website, there's a whole page with resources and talks and articles on this Nourishing Well-Being Initiative, true? Under community programs, that's accessible to everyone. So I won't, so we're sort of coming, I mean, we're not coming to an end, but we're going to begin a new theme this week, but I think if you think about your body as a vehicle, You see, many of us don't think of our body as a vehicle. We actually identify very much with our body and see it as a means of attracting, see it as a means of getting some enjoyment, see it as a means of meeting emotional needs. I mean, we see our bodies in many ways other than simply what it is. It's a vehicle. It's a vehicle for what? Well, that we'll get into. But just in the same way, if you think about your own vehicle, you want to make sure that your vehicle is giving what? The right kind of gasoline. I mean, it sounds kind of simple. You don't put the wrong gasoline in your car, do you? You put the right gasoline. Why do you put the right gasoline? Because you know that's best for the car. Why do you get the best oil or the right oil for the car? Why do you take care of your car? Why, when there's a problem, do you fix it yourself or you bring it to the mechanic? Why do you clean it? You know, all these things. Because we want our vehicle to be available to us, right? So we have to begin to conceive of as our body as a vehicle for our life, for what we want to go and where we want to go in life. But the other interesting thing, and I think this is, again, part of Thich Nhat Hanh's kind of bringing things into the modern world, we are learning that that if we just have a very narrow focus on the car and what goes into the car, we're missing a larger context of what's going on in the world, such as, well, the type of fuels that we put in the car, right? We all of a sudden understanding has a lot to do with our environment. Right? Renewable resources, climate change, global warming, right? So we see there are, that there is an interconnection with the broader, fabric of life of our community, meaning the human community, that transcends just the individual needs of the car. So we're learning to see a context in which, you know, now we're having electric cars and hybrids and all these other kinds of things and looking at these kind of uses. So in the same way, when we approach the edible food, the first nutriment, which has to do with our physical bodies, we're also looking at, again, the broader issues, such as, you know, where's my food coming from? What are the costs to other forms of life, to our planet, to the well-being of our planet, that directly relate to the way I consume and the foods I consume? Is that clear? So, and I think you're all familiar with this, but can you see where we're looking at, in this case, the body, not simply as a physical, edible food things, but also in the wider context of society and the choices we make and the well-being of the whole physical world. So I won't belabor that, but I mean, that's sort of how we're doing it. And I think we are having a panel, I think the first week in September, where we're looking at this issue of edible foods and plant-based diet. We'll have a physician here talking about certain aspects of it and other people on the panel. But again, that we begin to think about, right, this, you know, what am I nourishing my body with? How am I taking care of my body? And how does that relate to taking care of the body of the planet, you see? We are interconnected in this world today, very interconnected. So, again, so that's sort of what I think there have been a number of talks over these past months by myself and others on this first nutriment. And I think, again, the first nutriment is sort of very, you know, most easily accessible to us because we are aware of nutrition and food and bodies and, you know, and we have a very body-centered culture. I mean, it's sort of, it's kind of our major obsession, our bodies, taking care of our bodies. How our bodies look and feel, and, you know, so there's nothing I'm not telling you. Now, we are, you know, if we're anything as a human being, we might say we are bodies and minds, right? Now, the second nutriment, which is sense impressions, is really the connecting point of the physical and we might say the mental, emotional. So the second nutriment is sense impressions. Again, it's a different way of looking at our life as human beings. Again, in the same way that we consume food, edible substances, and that has effect, positive, negative, neutral, on our bodies and society, in the same way we are consuming experiences. Is that clear? So it's a different way of looking at it. In the same way that our body is taking in food and digesting it, and sort of the nutritious, the nutriment value of the food has a lot to do with what's, you know, whether our bodies are healthy or not healthy, what's being integrated into our body through the food we eat. But we often don't think about how the things our minds are consuming are also affecting our minds. It's kind of simple, isn't it? But we don't really understand this. And so, and the next three nutriments, which are sense impressions, volition, will, and consciousness, all relate to the way our minds consume and the wholesomeness or unwholesomeness of that and how that then conditions our mind. If any of you are sitting here wondering, how did I end up with the mind I have? Right? Right? As you, especially if you begin to meditate, so you have a very direct window on your mind, if you ever wonder, how did it come to this? Well, it's because we have been consuming many things over the course of our life, which has conditioned our mind. The same way the things we eat and the way we exercise or don't exercise, the healthy, unhealthy foods we eat, whether we get enough sleep, what, all these kinds of things condition our body. Things are conditioning our mind. The first one to look at, and that's what I'll talk about today, and where we're going in our community, and I think it's, again, very essential, is the sense impressions. Now, what does this mean? We have, you know, how do we connect with the world? Right? Right? We are sentient beings. You've heard, that's a common Buddhist term. Sentient, rather than human beings, Buddhism talks about sentient beings. We are beings that have senses. We sense the world. We're alive to the world. Now, how are we alive to the world? How do we connect to the world? How do we touch the world? Very simple. We see, we hear, we smell, we taste, and we feel. Is that clear? So this is like very basic, and yet often unknown to us because we're so much in our heads, you see. But if you think about it, you know, how do I experience everything? How do I experience relationship? I mean, it's all because I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, and I sense in my body. That's our connectors. Thich Nhat Hanh likes to talk about the senses, which is a very interesting term, as touching, right? So when I see you, my eyes are touching you. When I hear a sound, my ears are touching the sound. You see, it has an intimate quality to it when you think about touching. So we are connecting to the world through our senses. And when we connect with an object, which is we're doing all the time, we're always seeing and smelling and tasting and feeling. We have different kinds of experiences, don't we? Basically, we have either pleasant experiences, you know, from mild to much pleasure. We have unpleasant experiences, right? And we have neutral experiences. And that process is going on all the time, right? And it is the way our mind, if it's in reality at all, connects with the world. I mean, we generate our thoughts we generate our emotional responses, right? Because we are seeing, smelling, all that to the world. Let me just nod your heads if you're with me. Is anybody not with me? I mean, don't feel embarrassed. Because it's very simple, but there's a process here, which is very basic to Buddhist psychology, to understand, how we are where we are. So, we are continually consuming experiences. Maybe that's another way to do it. Is that clear? Through our senses. Now, this is where it gets tricky. Right? What kind of sensory experiences am I having, and what are the effects on that in terms of my well-being or ill-being? In the same way we talked earlier, the kind of food I eat, if I live on junk food, if I eat healthy food, if I get enough sleep, if I don't get sleep, if I exercise, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, has an effect on the physical well-being of my body and disease and health and just energy and all that. The things we're consuming with our minds are also affecting us. But nobody's telling you that, are they? See, nobody's telling you that. What the world is telling us is what? Consume experience. And I'm going to give you an unlimited, endless amount of experiences for you to consume. Is that true? In 100 years or less, are the things we can consume is so astronomically increased that we are just dumbfounded in this endless unfolding of experience. And we don't ask ourselves, is this experience contributing wholesomeness to my mind or unwholesomeness, right? Is it making me healthy or is it making me sick or is it just endless neutral? A lot of times, it's sort of like junk food. Junk food, when you're eating it, it seems like it feels like what? It feels good, right? And you can eat a lot of junk food and you'll feel what? Full. But you're really not getting any nutrition at all, are you? And you could be actually, since you're not eating healthy food, but you're filling up on junk food, it actually may be having a negative effect on your body in the long run. Even though in the short run, it may feel really what? Good. And I assure you that the food processing industry has spent millions, if not billions, of dollars to give you a very pleasant experience. They are very sophisticated. They know we like the crunch, and we know we like the right thing of salt and this and sugar, right? So they're very sophisticated. Right? Is that clear? Because they know what we like in the short run. They know what taste we like. They know what things we look at and we find pleasurable to look at. They know what we like to smell. Is that clear? So they manipulate us. So we will do what? We will consume. Have a sensory experience. And yet, is it wholesome? Now, to understand this more deeply, we have to begin to ask ourselves, see, there has to be criteria, right? If our criteria is simply more pleasure, more pleasant experience, right? Then we will endlessly just be consuming everything that appears in the moment to be what? Pleasant. And if we don't want anything that's unpleasant, we will do anything we can not to consume anything with our eyes, with our ears, that appears in the moment to be unpleasant. Right? But that momentary pleasant, unpleasant may not be really what's best for us, what's best for our minds. So the criteria has to be, what kind of mind do you want? In the same way, if you're looking at, you know, how you're eating and sleeping and exercising, you have to ask yourself, what kind of body do I want? Right? Do I want a healthy body, an energized body, a relatively disease-free body? Right? Then the criteria in terms of what I eat, in terms of edible foods and other choices I make around my body will be much more apparent to me. Right? But if I don't have any criteria, I'll be making a totally different choices. So, in terms of our experiences of seeing, smelling, tasting, hearing, what are we consuming all day? Think about your life. What kind of experiences are you consuming? Are you eating with your five senses all day long? Anybody want to take a guess? This is not a trick question, by the way. I mean, this is kind of, all right? I mean, what are we doing? We are what? We're having conversations. We're talking. We're listening, right? Mouth and ear and eyes. So we're consuming conversations all day, okay? What else are we consuming all day? We're consuming the news, right? All day long, many people. And these days, you can consume the news when? Anytime you want. For those younger people in the audience tonight, today, that's new. You see? I mean, I'm 73. When I grew up, there were a couple of newspapers you read during the day, and the news was on at 6 o'clock. And then it was on again at 11. I mean, you may find this amazing. And actually, I am old enough to remember that I think about 11, 12 o'clock on the TV, there was just this kind of thing. I mean, the actual stations went off. There was no TV. I know you find this amazing. There was no TV, I think, between midnight or, I don't know, you know, and 5 a.m. I mean, it was just blank, or not blank. They used to have this thing with the channel or something. It was kind of a strange thing. Is that what it was? I don't know. But, yeah, I know, this is kind of amazing. People going, what? Yeah, I mean, it, you know. And there were like four channels, you know. Right? I mean, I'm only saying that to see, yeah, so we're consuming news endlessly, and different kinds of news. Any kind of news you want, right? In any language you want, right? 24/7. What else are you doing all day? What else are you consuming through your senses? What? Music, right? We're listening to music, all kinds of music, any way we want it, as we want it, right? What else are we consuming? Movies, right? Again, this may sound to be an amazing thing to younger people. We used to have to go to the movies to see a movie. I mean, this... I don't know if anybody's old enough to remember going to the movies. And there'd be like, you know, one or two movies, and it might be there for a week or two. The same movie. And movies only had one screen. I know, this is kind of shocking. For those of you from Wake Up, you can pass on this historical piece to your peers. Right? So we're consuming, what else are we consuming? Movies. What else are we consuming? What? Google, there you go. And Google, let's say, is an entry to what? To what? To everything. I mean, this is quite unique. We can consume any type of information we want about anything at any time, and it is inexhaustible. It's unfortunate we have to sleep. It's unfortunate we have to do other things, right? Eat, or, you know what I'm saying? Because we could just be what? Endlessly, what? Involved with our electronic devices. Our phones. Again, historical night. I wasn't even planning to go there today. This again may be, for the wake-up people, incredible to know. But we used to just have one phone in the house. And the amazing thing about it, it was stationary. I mean, you actually had to go to the phone, and it was connected to the phone. I mean, you couldn't move around. And you had to go there to pick it up. Right? Now you can what? You can your phone is with you all the time. You can take calls, emails, texts, right? All the time. So what are people, especially younger people, consume, and now unfortunately it has spread into the older generation. What are you consuming all days? Besides this endless information through Google and movies and music and conversation, you know, you're also consuming what? What? Social media. Emails, texts, what? Yeah. I mean, can you see? It's just endless. And it's so accessible. So, if you, and again, we could go on and on, all right? I'm not here to, and again, you know, I just want to say there is research coming out that actually when you get your information and even read in an electronic way, it is a totally different brain experience, cognitive experience than actually reading the printed word. It is doing something with dopamine, and there's a reason. I just heard this the other day. There's a reason that if you're reading a book and you put it down, you can just put it down. But that if you're somebody who's reading it in an electronic way and you put it down, there's a little bit of almost like an addiction kind of, there's a little bit of discomfort. There's a reason. I saw something not too long ago that said that when somebody goes on to check their email or do anything that they're checking, on an average it takes them 23 minutes to get back to whatever they were doing. Everybody know what I'm talking about? And this, I mean, there's a subtlety that has to do with our brain and the chemistry of our brain that is being activated in a very different way than it ever has been. Okay, so what do you hear about sense impressions? Now, there are all kinds of other sense impressions. What? There's the blue sky and the sun and flowers, right? Those are sense impressions, right? What are wholesome sense impressions? What nurtures you? Think about it. What nurtures you? Sounds. There are sounds that are actually, and why is the sound of the ocean wholesome for you? It's calming. Oh, that's interesting. Consuming, ears, eyes, smell, going to the beach, and you feel calm. Is calmness, peacefulness, a wholesome emotion? Oh, it is. So therefore, certain kind of experiences nurture a sense of well-being. What other kinds of experiences are wholesome, nurture well-being? What? Petting your cat, connecting in a positive way feels good. Okay, yeah, petting the cat. Yeah. Are there more than two? children, being with children, playing with children, reading to children, listening to children can be what? A very pleasant experience. That's quite a wholesome because it's building relationship. Being in a quiet place, very rare these days. I think, what? Gardening, being in nature, gardening, working with the earth, right? Doing some labor in a very direct way that's not mental labor, right? Growing something, flowers, vegetables, yeah, it feels good to some people. What else? What? Yeah, you can, in your imagination, you could be visualizing things. As we were saying, visualizing, you didn't say seeing. Yeah, one can, in one's imagination, one could be imagining things that are actually pleasant or calming or quieting. Yes. Meditating, mindfulness, calmness, calming, quieting the mind, concentrating, right? Yeah. Quieting, stabilizing, calming the mind. Positive experience? Yeah. What else? Cooking. Like being really present to cooking and the food and the smelling and the color and just kind of just the whole meditative process of being in the kitchen. Yeah, it can be very nurturing. It can be a very positive sensory experience. Unfortunately, there is one criteria that has to be there. Which is what? Yeah, mindful. You have to be present to it. Oh, I never thought about that. So you don't get any points just for being in the kitchen cooking. Because you could be in the kitchen cooking and you could be thinking about this and worrying about that or listening to that or listening to the news. So you're actually not consuming through your sensory experiences, are you? You're consuming what? Which we'll be getting to in the next two consumption patterns that are purely the mind. But just like with the edible foods, this, I think, is much more accessible and obvious to us because this is often what is conditioning our mind. What else is a pleasant experience? What? Movement, exercise, mindful movement. Yeah, exercise when you're present to it. Again, many people, when they exercise these days, they're not present to it, right? If you go to the gym, what are people doing on the treadmill? Watching TV. And what are they watching on TV? The news. So what are they actually consuming? Are they actually consuming an embodied experience, a physical experience? No. They're not connected to their bodies. We are not connected to our body. If you think about your experiences, and I hope one of our processes over these coming weeks will be that we will all begin to log our experiences. But these days, more and more our experiences are we're experiencing life through what? It's from here up. And we are less and less in touch with our experiences from the neck down. And even though we might say the eyes, the ears, the nose, and the mouth, five of our senses are located in our head, we're often not even in touch with that because we are too busy what? Thinking, consuming electronic information. Is that not true? So, cooking's quite wonderful. If we shut everything off and we're just present to the cooking. So, going to the beach is wonderful. But anybody been to the beach recently? What are many people doing at the beach? What? Coughing. Well, that's somebody say coughing? Yeah, that's true. but on a good day at the beach. Do you ever see people walking up and down the beach? What are many people doing these days? What? Yeah, they're into something. They're listening to something, right? Or they're talking on the phone. So we could say they're at the beach, which has been pointed out can be a very calming, relaxing, nurturing experience, but they're not present to it. There's no mindfulness. There's no present. They are present to what? Right? An electronic experience. That's what they're consuming. Taking pictures. Listening. People don't go for walks anymore. They go for walks, but they're what? Listening. More, and some people listen to music, but a lot of people are doing what? Podcasts. Gathering more information. If I only could... What? If I could only... Even Dharma talks. I assure you, I tell people, do not do that. You know, how many Dharma talks do you need to get awakened? I'm just being honest here. You know, it's the practice that gets us there. It's not listening to more Dharma talks, but we are, whoever said that, yeah, we have become great consumers of Dharma, right? You know, we listen to it in our car, we listen to it on the computer, we listen to it on our, you know, it's like as if somehow getting more Dharma is somehow going to, you know, get me there. Shut it off. You know, hear one good Dharma talk a week and practice it. I mean, it's all about practice. Yeah, so I think that was helpful. Yeah, consumption patterns. What else nurtures you? Yeah, smiles. Yeah. And smiling at people, you know, smiling, connecting. With another human being in a positive way. Right? Positive conversations, constructive conversations, supportive conversations. Right? Wonderful. Right. Yeah, there's so many ways. Think of what, you know, what kind of relationships nurture you. Feel good. Again, you're seeing, hearing, smelling. What kind? Loving, that's a good start. Friendly, right? Meaningful connections. Yeah, they nurture us. And when you think about it from this point of view of consumptions, we are experiencing from the morning, from the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed, we are consuming experiences through our senses. So this is very key, again, to this sutra and this teaching, to really begin to see, yeah, consumption patterns in my body, consumption patterns in my sense. What am I consuming with my eyes, my ears, my nose, my mouth, and my body all day? Now, I mean, again, we can go on with a list, but I think that's important to know, for each of us to know from our own experience, what kind of experiences actually are wholesome for me, are nurturing for me, are supportive of well-being in my mind. And conversely, one has to really know clearly what. Right? Which are the ones which are not. Right? Or they're just junk. You know, if you don't have any criteria, if you go to Publix, you're going to make your choices based on what? You know, if you go into Publix just based on what gives me pleasure, you see, what do I just enjoy eating that gives me momentary pleasure? You know, what do you head for? Potato chips, you know, I mean, you know, just, you know, and they have a whole aisle, right? Just filled with things that's basically non-nutritious, but what? Tastes good, don't they? I mean, you can just go from one aisle to the next, and that's probably half of it, right? Just stuff that's just given us pleasant, momentary, positive experiences. Is that not true? So you have to have criteria when you go shopping, or it's very easy to what? To make choices that aren't that healthy and nutritious for the well-being of your body, not just today, but for next week, next year, you know, right? So if you think about your life and your consumption patterns, what's not healthy for you? Even though you may do it. Think about it. Violent movies, okay, for you, okay? Because they water the seeds of what? What? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, movies, you know, many different kinds of movies. And a lot of movies these days, while we may find them in the moment, what? Interesting, enjoyable, yet what are they, you know, what am I consuming when I watch that, and what is that doing to my mind? You know, even if I don't run out on the street and go assault somebody, right? See, it's not like that. People go, well, I'm not, you know, I watch violent movies, you know, and it doesn't turn me into a violent person. That may be true. You know, I'm not one of those who say that is, but is it affecting my mind? I mean, it's interesting. One thing we didn't mention, which seems to be a major consumption of people these days, is what? Video games. Anybody here play video games? No. What? Yeah. Are there many different types of video games? Yeah. What am I consuming? What is this doing to my mind? Even if I'm not acting out on it, right? You know, if children and adults are spending hours and hours and hours and hours in a virtual world of violence, even though they may not be violent, is that conditioning their minds to tolerate and accept violence as part of the fabric of life? You see what I'm saying? It's yeah, so what do we have? I mean, so come on. What are other things that we have to be aware of in terms of that may be not wholesome for us?
Candy crush.
What? What?
Candy crush.
Yes, I don't.
It's a video game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not violent, but it is very distracting.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I find myself finding it hard to put it down.
Oh. Please, they're very sophisticated. They know what they're doing. What do you think they're paying all these guys lots of money for? These game developers. I mean, they're not paying them tons of money because they want them to develop something that you pick up and you can't put down. Yeah, these are smart people. Huh? Yeah, yeah. See, and the other interesting thing we have to ask ourselves about a lot of these things that we consume, even though, like you say, they might not be, you know, in of itself negative, you know, or harmful, but when I'm consuming this and getting very involved in this and spending hours or minutes at this, and if you look back and go, yeah, I just kind of was just passing time, you know, what could I have been doing? What kind of experiences could I be having been consuming that might have been much more meaningful or helpful or nourishing? Is that clear? So it's not just that things are negative. I mean, my sense of a lot of this electronic world that people are involved in from the time they get up to the time they go to bed is unfortunately preventing them from doing things that are much more meaningful with their time. Because it's what? It's so easy. I mean, I started out like not even interested in this stuff. But I found that as I got more involved in the world, because everybody's emailing these days, and you know, there's more stuff even in terms of Buddhism, you know, on, you know what I mean? And you know, it is, I mean, I have to watch myself because it is so easy, isn't it? You know, because not only are you, you know, involved, but they're just giving you these endless options. Well, did you ever, how about this, or how about that, or you ever try this, or here's a list of things you might be in, and you go, oh, I could be interested. I don't know anything about that. You see what I'm saying? It's before you know it, you know, time has gone by. And when you look back, you go, you know, has the quality of my life really improved from what I've been, investigating the last hour? I can't really say it has. You know, we're just collectors of information. We're collectors of sensory experience without ever looking at the quality of the experience. Yes. And then, okay, yeah. You mean one, or are you advising me to?
No, you can binge watch an entire series.
So we're talking about binge watch. Oh, thank you, Brian. Brian's wrong that we have a lot of people live streaming. So we're talking about binge watching. Yeah. Now again, this may be amazing for the younger people, and they realize, yeah, you had to wait a week for the next episode. I mean, this is how torturous our life used to be. You know, we had to wait a whole week, and now, yeah, you don't. It's all you can just watch it one after the other, and it's so seductive, isn't it? Because you can see it, because you want to see it unfold, and you don't have to wait. You see, you don't have to be patient. Think about what this is doing to our minds. We don't have to be patient anymore. We don't have to wait anymore. You know? I mean, anyhow. What else is perhaps? Yes.
Watching 8 hours of CNN or 2 minutes of Fox.
Hold on. Just to be fair, there are some people who would say, you know, watching 8 hours of Fox or 2 minutes of CNN. I mean, they might, but anyhow, either way, it's a lot. And what does it do to you? You see? Yes, yeah, yeah. Think about it. When you watch the news, whatever, you know, and it's really sort of all the same, it depends on your political viewpoint. When you watch the news, when you watch the news station that you most identify with, what does it do for you? Think about your mind state. Somebody said you get agitated, you get attached, you get what? Anxious, worried, angry, sad, what? Confused, hopeless. I mean, are these healthy emotions which are going to make you, you know, no. So I think we're beginning to understand. Yeah, so what else? What else when you look at your life and your concern? Yes. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. So the issue was, right, with Google Maps and all the GPS stuff, yeah, our ability to kind of learn how to move ourselves around the world and navigate or read a map or have a sense of direction, yeah, is not needed anymore, but it does to create a kind of dependency, because if it goes dead or something or gets hacked, you know. I mean, what if they hack it and all of a sudden you're getting all the wrong directions? Right? See, they may just start, so you end up just going all to the wrong places and that would be a nightmare, wouldn't it? Yeah, but it probably is going to happen. Yes. Yeah, I was gonna get there in about 5 minutes. So just hold that. But yeah, so So we're first, you know, we're approaching this in a systematic way. First, to understand that in the same way our edible food consumption and our bodies and everything has effects on ourselves and effects on the world, in the same way our sense impression consumption has effects on ourselves, our minds, and on others, right? So positively and negatively. Okay, so that's, yeah, and then we'll end up, you know, where you're being. So, yes. You mean he was recommending it?
Yes. Yeah. Well, if you're going to do
it, mindfully, that's it. Uh-huh. You sure that wasn't somebody imitating him or something, you know? What? But he... Was this a special channel for cigarette smokers that Thich Nhat Hanh is?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting. I mean, I think it begins with mindfulness. I think that's what Thay's saying. I don't think he's encouraging cigarette smoking.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Right, no, I understand. But I think what that's about is if we bring mindfulness, which is what we're talking about here. I mean, what are we doing here today? We're bringing mindfulness to our consumption of information and experience that goes on all the time through our senses. We're becoming mindful that that's going on, and we're becoming mindful of how it's affecting us. That's mindfulness. Mindfulness then allows us to make wise choices. I think Thich Nhat Hanh is believing that if somebody is smoking and they really are mindful of what's going on and how they're taking the smoke into their lungs and how that may be affecting their heart and circulatory system and respiratory system, I think he's going under the idea that somehow if you become aware of that, you will then, from that mindfulness, stop. Because I think there's an intrinsic belief that when you give people, and we're not sure if that's still true anymore, but when you give people the right information, they hopefully will make the right decision. But yeah, so thank you. Yes.
Or maybe, I think I've heard a similar point, but with, say, like overeating or emotional eating, that the awareness might bring you to a place where you see the preceding events that, oh, I get stressed out, talking to a coworker, and then I have this desire to
Yeah, so mindfulness is obviously a fundamental aspect of transformation. You know, we have to know, this is why we're beginning where we're beginning, to become aware that we are consuming all day through our sensory experiences, and that, you know, the sutra talks about wholesome, unwholesome, what's nutritious, what's not nutritious, right? So we can make wise choices, first for ourselves, for those around us, and for our world. Because again, you know, we're not alone in this world anymore, right? Any other, when you look at your consumption patterns, where you go, this is not a good one. What? Yes.
Regardless of whether you agree with his politics or not,
It could be, yeah. So. Yeah, so I mean, again, so he's talking about some recent news story, John McCain death, and and some of the things have been sort of ennobling, that when you read about him or read about his life, there's a quality that comes through that you find is very wholesome for you, okay? So, I mean, that's what we're trying to see this morning, that there are things that we imbibe through our sensory experience.